also to make a personal application of that truth. So come to Bethlehem tonight. Bethlehem, of course, is actually still an actual place. It is there, people live there, and it's a very significant place in Israel. So we're going to watch a short DVD just to get you into the feel of what Bethlehem is like today, and what some of the people who live there, including some of the shepherds, would like to say to us today. Thanks, Ash.
Welcome, all you faithful. Just a song first.
No, it's a DVD first. Whilst we're getting that ready, I saw this week the origin of the other song, Noel. And it happened when the sign writer was writing the word Bethlehem and he left the letter L out, and somebody came by and said, "There's Noel." And he said, "That's a good start to a song, Noel." So now you know the origin of Noel as well.
The Father. This is what myrrh been carried in, and myrrh is a sign for for the sufferings that he would carry.
They expected to see a prince in a castle. They did not expect a baby born in poverty.
He's not rich. He's very poor. I know all about this. God loves the poor people, rich people, all people.
He's a refugee. Jesus is a refugee.
They wanted to kill him. There was order to kill all the children of Bethlehem, newborns to 2 years old. That's why she flew to Egypt.
See, that is a good word.
Jesus born refugee because God, he wanted to teach us how. If Jesus born refugee, what about us? And he teaches us about to give forgiveness and love.
They come from God to give him the message for peace. This is the important thing that the God is told to Isa to the people. Yes.
The Prince of Peace being born in the most troubled land on earth, it has like a significance maybe.
We need peace inside ourselves and we need peace all over the world.
We can feel the peace in our life because we have a hope.
Hope coming where we understand each other. And the hope coming where we understand God for our life.
I think Jesus knocking doors of the hearts of people. And he asked for anyone to open for him to start the new Christmas with him.
Isa is the principle of peace. Yes, Isa is the principle of peace.
Messages from the people in Bethlehem for people in Acworth tonight. Thought it was interesting that the accountant went from counting money to counting sheep. It's an interesting journey to go. But still that message that Jesus is the Prince of Peace and he comes so that we can open our hearts and our lives to him. So our first carol tonight, we're going to sing quite a few carols, is another well-known one. It says, "Oh come, all ye faithful, come and worship him." So let's stand and we'll sing this one together. Oh come, let us adore him.
Oh,
going to come and read to us some verses from Luke's Gospel, just the beginning of this story we're thinking about tonight, particularly about the shepherds, and then coming to Bethlehem. Thank you, Catherine.
Read. And it came to pass in those days, there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all in the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn.
Thank you very much, Catherine. And now Jasmine is going to come and share with us just some reflections on the first verse of our carol for tonight, O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie.
So 2,000 years ago, Bethlehem was a small town in a beautiful hilly area of Palestine, Israel, depends which side you're on, what you call it, as it still is today. And it's a very beautiful place, and as we saw, it had its normal folk. It had carpenters, shepherds, shopkeepers, innkeepers, religious people, families, children. So that's why it's so relatable to us, to all of us regular folks here in Acworth and all around the world. And in my mind, it wasn't a still and silent, dreamy place, as it says in the first verse of the song, because it had its dark streets, as it's mentioned in the verse. Because politically, it was under the Roman occupation. The Romans to the Jews were like foreigners. They were military, powerful. Caesar Augustus was in charge, and the Romans had their own religion. They worshipped their own gods and god and spirits. And even though they allowed Judaism to be practiced, still there was all this tension, I'm sure, between the religions, different kinds of people, different nationalities, and all that there. So with different types of people, there must have been some unrest and quite a lot of hatred and definitely the need for peace. Yet God, our Father, he chose to send Jesus, the light of the world, the everlasting light, into that situation of unrest with a very powerful message of love, peace, and salvation for all types of people, no matter which side they were on. God sent his answer to all our troubles, which was Jesus. 20 years ago, almost exactly to the day, I was in Bethlehem at Manger Square because we'd been invited by the mayor of Bethlehem to join in the Christmas festivities and to sing for the people there. And we came with a message called The Peace in the Midst of the Storm to the troubled lands there. So our message was based around a story about a painting which won a painting competition where the artist had to depict peace. Most of the paintings that were turned in were peaceful, calm sceneries. But one painting was a bit different. It was of a little bird that was on a tree branch, halfway down a raging waterfall. And the bird was happily, peacefully singing its heart out, in spite of the raging torrent. And that's the hardest kind of peace to have, peace in the midst of a storm. But Jesus can give us that peace because he is the Prince of Peace. So 20 years ago, there was different troubles than 2,000 years ago because it was the Jews and the Palestines who were, the Jews and the Palestines are mostly Christians and Muslims, and they were fighting each other for the ownership of the land that they all lived on and they all called their own. And it's the place where, as you've seen, these troubles continue even today. So 20 years ago, I also had my own personal troubles in my own life, and that was just 3 years before I met this lovely man over here. So whether it's 2,000 years ago, 20 years ago, or today, we find people are the same in Bethlehem or anywhere in the world. We all have troubles, and we all need Jesus. The light of the world is the same. So as the words of the first verse, the hopes and fears of all the years I met in thee tonight, they ring as true today as they ever did.
Thank you very much, Jasmine. Lovely. So you've been fortunate to be in Bethlehem at Manger Square. Yes. Not many of us have been there, have we? So I'm going to sing a song now. It's probably not known as a carol to many people, but if a carol is about the birth of Jesus, then this song by Graham Kendrick certainly is. And it picks up the theme of the first verse of A Little Town of Bethlehem. It's about light of the world, Jesus, the light of the world, stepping into our darkness. Light of the world, you stepped into our darkness. So let me invite you to stand and we'll sing this and enjoy these lovely words together. come and talk to us about the second verse of O Little Town of Bethlehem.
I don't know if you've ever seen something that you couldn't believe your eyes when you saw it. A few years ago, in Acworth, a friend of mine from the Church of England got in touch and he said, Ash, do you mind there riding through Acworth on a donkey? Or well, not on a donkey, but do you mind me and Joseph? And what we're going to do is we're going to visit all the schools in Acworth. And so you'll be Joseph, and then his wife was Mary. So we wandered up and down the streets of Acworth with a donkey. Well, there were two, actually. Apparently, the donkeys were friends, so we couldn't separate them. So there were two donkeys, and me as Joseph, and then Mary, and wandering through the streets of Acworth. And I remember watching the people passing by in cars, kind of doing a double take, you know what I mean? One of those moments where they kind of, did that really happen? As Mary and Joseph wandered past with a couple of donkeys up the streets. And it's, I think in verse 2, we get a little bit of something very similar of this carol, and it kind of tells us something about the way that this story, this wonderful story that we get in the Gospels, the way that this story is both a very real and gritty and kind of difficult story in some ways, isn't it? About this young couple who are having a baby and then find themselves in this place that's not their own, where they can't find anywhere to have the baby, and they end up in this dark and cold and smelly and awful place. Can you imagine having a baby in a stable or where all the animals are? Can you imagine that? It's awful. It's an awful story, isn't it, in some ways? But what we get as well is not only just this ordinary story, but we get this other story as well that runs alongside of it. This otherness about the story. The fact that actually, what we get in verse 2, it says there, doesn't it? O morning stars together, proclaim the holy birth. And praises sing to God the King. And peace to men on earth. It's telling us this, another part of this story, actually, about the angels who kind of were around. Because what we get in this story is not just this, like I said, this very earthly, gritty story, but we get this place, actually, where we find that heaven comes down and touches earth. It's a place where heaven and earth come together and meet up. And we find that in all sorts of ways. It's a wonderful thought for us, actually, tonight, because that continues to us today. We can still have something of heaven touching earth today, which is what we find in this Christmas story. But as we look at this story, what we see is these angels here coming down. Now, you just remember in this story that these angels have been present with Jesus before he's born as a baby. They've seen Jesus in all his glory in heaven. They've been with Jesus when he's been sat at the right hand of God, ruling and reigning over this whole universe. They've watched him there. And then suddenly, here is this same Jesus, born, a tiny little baby, in the smells and the horridness of a stable, kind of restricted down to this tiny little thing. And you imagine kind of watching, like I said, Jesus in heaven, and then suddenly here he is on the earth. This little baby with kind of not able to do anything for himself, not able to kind of feed himself. He's just so vulnerable, he's so tiny, he's so restricted, he's so small. And they must have been kind of scratching their heads, thinking, what has happened here? How has this come to me? This is Jesus, we've seen him, he's the Son of God, and yet here he is. And as this kind of second verse goes on to say, it says, for Christ is born of Mary and gathered all above. While mortals sleep, the angels keep their watch of wondering love. And it tells us some little things about what the angels came to do. They came to, first of all, sing his praises. And praises sing to God the King. They couldn't believe what they were seeing. They couldn't believe the love that God had for people. They couldn't believe the love that Jesus had for people, that he was willing to send his son, that Jesus was willing to come in such a restricted form. They couldn't believe it. They sang praises to God. It was just amazing to them. And they proclaim this second message. Part of what angels do is to proclaim, and they proclaim this. They say, "And peace to men on earth." It's a story of peace. It's a story of peace between God and people. That God came to make peace. That we can know peace with God. What a wonderful message. On those on whom his favour rests, he proclaims peace. and he proclaims peace to us today. Wonderful, eh? And the third little part of what they do, so they're here, they sing praises to God, as we saw with the shepherds, when the shepherds came, they sing praises there. They proclaim peace to people. Listen, God is making peace with you. And the third little bit is in the second verse, and it says, their watch of wondering love. If any parents are amongst us, I'm sure you'll have done this. When your child was tiny, and then maybe you crept into their bedroom when they were asleep at night, and just looked into their cot and just watched them for a little second. Did you ever do that? I'm sure you must have done. I'm sure I remember doing that many, many times. Just watching that little baby sleeping and just seeing the wonder of what God had made. And there's almost a little feel of that as well, as the angels kind of look down on this tiny little vulnerable baby, watching over him, kind of taking care of him, this vulnerable little one, keeping watch in wondering love. So like I say, this is the point where heaven meets earth, and where God and people are starting to, God is making peace with people. I think now what we're going to do is we're going to we promised candles by candlelight. Not candles by candlelight. Well, they are candles by candlelight. But carols by candlelight tonight. So this is our bit where we're actually going to light our candles. Sing a couple of carols by candlelight. As we've already heard tonight, Jesus, one of the great names given to Jesus was Jesus is the light of the world. My candlelight. So what we're going to do is we're going to pass the light around. It's a little symbol of Jesus coming and putting his light in our hearts, because that's what happens. Jesus, the light of the world, visits our lives, visits our hearts, and puts light inside of them. So pass the light on to the people next to you. And we should see light filling this room from these candles as it's kind of passed around a little bit. Way heading towards the back. Just be careful as well with these little lights. We did have it one year, and it's a lot of years ago now, but when we were doing our Christingles, I often tell people this, that when me and I were sat behind one of the young girls who came along that night, and just saw the smoke kind of start to come up from her hair, and she didn't realise what she was kind of doing and looking round. So do be careful with these lights that we use tonight.
Have you switched the smoke alarm off?
No, we... Just to say as well, when you blow the candles out in a couple of songs' time, what I need you to do is to blow and then go like that as well. Just to waft the smoke. We've not had it yet, but it's set the alarm. So we're going to sing two carols that are very familiar to us, and they go very well, I think, with candlelight as well, actually. So we'll sing Away in the Manger, followed straight away by Silent Night. But like I say, if you'd like to blow your candles and then just waft the smoke a little bit, we'll get away with it, hopefully. No alarm bells. That's always a good sign. So I think Jackie's going to come now and read to us the next little part of the Christmas story from Luke chapter 2.
Living out in the field nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born. To you is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be the sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who were lying in a manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
Thank you very much, Jackie. So now we're going to have a performance piece, who is going to sing to us a fairly contemporary song called Noel.
I picked this song, it's called Noel, which means Christmas, and it's an invitation really just to look again at the Christmas story and what it's all about. And it speaks of God's amazing love story for us. One of the most famous verses in the Bible, John 3:16, says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, so that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." And that's why Jesus came the first Christmas. So I hope you enjoy this song, Noel. Now you can start.
Love incarnate, love divine, star and angels gave the sign.
The world began.
To human hearts the blessing of his heaven. No ear may hear his coming, but in this world of sin, where meek souls will receive him still, the dear Christ enters in.
Just to say, I've been struggling with my voice all week, so if it cracks, it's not because I'm terrified to stand up here and come to you all. So I'm really focusing on the first half of this verse, because that's the part that really stayed with me as a reminder, really, that Jesus didn't come crashing into the world, making himself loudly known to everybody, but he came in an unexpected way and was unnoticed by most. And I thought I would share a little bit about my own first experience, really, of this very thing, of God coming to me in an unexpectedly silent way. This is going back 7 or 8 years ago now, before I went on the Alpha course. And I started to think a lot more about God, and I read a lot, mostly on Christian forums, and I spoke to Christian friends I had, and I immersed myself really in information and words, which I'm very prone to doing, to try and get as much information as I could, and it led to quite a lot of confusion, really. And I remember one day in particular, and I just felt completely confused at what I thought about it all, and whether God and Jesus were real, and whether the stories about Jesus were true, and I just wanted a bit of peace about it, really. So I prayed a prayer along the lines of, kind of, you know, if you're really there, God, show me today, reveal yourself to me. And I was absolutely convinced all day that somebody would say something really profound to me. So I went through my day listening really carefully to what everybody said, everywhere I went, and waited for that special thing that somebody was going to say, and it didn't come. And I remember at the time I was helping out on the PTA at school, and they had a meeting in the evening, which wasn't something I routinely went to. So I went along thinking, aha, this is it, somebody's going to say something now, and absolutely convinced again that this is what was going to happen. And the meeting came and went, and nothing happened, and I left the school and felt completely deflated, really. I thought, well, that's pretty much my last conversation of the day, and nobody said anything, and so that's that. And I walked out of the school, and there was the sky, and I wouldn't even say I looked up, because it was just there, and there was this bright moon and these two really bright stars next to it. And I found out later it was a particular time, I think it was Venus and Jupiter that were really close to each other and to the moon, but I'm no astronomer and I didn't know that, and I wouldn't normally have been out at that time to see it. But at the time I think I laughed because it absolutely hit me, and it was completely not what I was expecting, and I didn't even have to think, is this an answer to my prayer? I just knew it was. And I laughed because of the unexpectedness of the answer. I'd been looking for my answer to come in words, because that was all I really knew about God at the time. It was all I'd experienced of it. But the answer came in silence and in an unexpected way. And yet, it was that very thing, really, as if God had spoken directly to my heart. It wasn't a miraculous sign just for me, I know that. It was happening anyway. But it was also deeply personal at the time. And I think that's much like Jesus' birth. It was happening for everybody, for the whole world really, but it was deeply personal for the people who were involved at the time. And I think what I love about this verse is that it's a reminder to me that absolutely everybody can receive that wondrous gift. We've all got access to silence. It doesn't depend on us being able to understand it all or explain things well. Silence is just there, and it's actually able to speak directly into people's hearts. It's always fully present and yet hidden. Silence can go unnoticed unless we're attentive to it, just like the birth of Jesus at the time and now. It's always present, but also hidden, so we have to seek him or he'll go unnoticed. I was listening to an advert the other day for Scrabble, and it showed that silent and listen are anagrams of each other, which I'd never realised before, but I thought it was very fitting that silence, it's not just the absence of sound, it is something real and present and holy, and we can listen to it. And I like the fact that even if we avoid silence in every area of our lives, which I can be very prone to doing myself, we're pushed into silence really every night when we sleep. You have no choice but to be silent when you're asleep. And really, I kind of make this my prayer of the season for me and for Christians and for non-Christians, just that we'll experience something either for the first time or again of just the truth of that verse, how silently the wondrous gift is given. Mm-hmm. So God imparts mm-hmm. to human hearts the blessings of his heaven.
Thanks so much. Thank you. It's wonderful. Where meek souls will receive him still, the dear Christ enters in. That's the other part of it, isn't it? When you're humble, when you're willing to open yourself, then God makes himself known. We're going to sing together now. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king. So you're ready for a standing up now, so please stand and we'll sing together this great song as well. by Philip Liss, and Julian is going to come and share his thoughts on verse 4. O Holy Child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray.
I get to do the great finale now.
The great finale. It's all been leading up to this.
Yes, and as you know, every song has a great finale, and we're getting to the great finale now. And I don't know any of you guys are going to get a mobile phone for Christmas, you youngsters. If you do, the first thing you should do is download the UCB app. Okay, because that's all I've been listening to is Christian carols, contemporary carols, songs, and they've been amazing. And everyone has finished with a great crescendo. And the thing is, you know, everything about these carols that we sing, it's all about Jesus, one person. It's all about Jesus, and it all revolves around him. And I went to my first sort of carol service, must have been a few weeks ago now, and it was the first chapter of John's Gospel that was spoken of. And there were some three things that came out, which have come out this evening through people's experiences and what they've been talking about and what they've been singing about. And that was the three words. One is behold, and the second one was that the light of the world, and I think it's amazing. And the third word is Emmanuel. And those things have carried right through sort of this Christmas time with me, those three words. And as we get to this verse here, as I said, we come to a finale, and it speaks to me, and as I was sort of reading through it and sort of thinking about it and meditating on it, so much comes out of these verses sometimes that you just can't get everything out that you want to sort of say about it. But to me it speaks about a prayer here. But as we know in the Bible, there's lots of different types of prayers in the Bible. And we think of Jesus when he's in the Garden of Gethsemane. I like to think about the prayer when he was on the cross, when he said, forgive them for they don't know not what they do. And to me it was a type of prayer there. But here, to me, it gives me a sense of a cry. A prayer of salvation, that's a yearning. There's a yearning here of wanting people to understand what it's all about. And to me, it's a prayer that is telling us that of the glad tidings. We speak about it later on. The angels about this great glad tidings, and the glad tidings is the good news that Jesus has come into the world to save sinners, to give us peace, to rescue us, to redeem us, to give us salvation. And there's so much here in this verse that just sort of springs out, really. And I suppose my prayer this evening is for, there's three types of prayer I'd like to sort of think about, really, is for a prayer for those maybe that don't know the Lord Jesus, don't know him as their saviour. And I'm thinking about that. You know that crib, and we've sort of meditated on it tonight, haven't we, about that crib with the babe that was born in that manger. And what I really would like us all to do in our Christian lives, or where we are in our journey in this world, is to sort of gaze into that crib, that manger with the babe that's in those swaddling, that cloth, those clothes. And what does it really speak to us of in your life? I just sometimes think when I come to my young grandson, my youngest one is not young, but he's 2 years old. But there's that love and affection that sort of when I'm holding him in my arms and I'm looking at him, that sort of there's that bond, that relationship between us that I really love, you know. And I just wonder what that really means to us when we gaze into that manger and we see that babe in that manger. And, you know, we see, as I look into, I see he's the Messiah, he's the King of Kings. Is the saviour of the world. And I just wonder what we think this evening as we look into that manger and we stare into the face of that baby, that child. And so there's three types of prayers maybe tonight. There's for people here, for those that love the Lord Jesus, their saviour. And sometimes it's a prayer that might strengthen us to go on, and through this time of refreshing that we might enjoy more and more the love of the Lord Jesus. Maybe it's that prayer that we don't know Jesus yet as our Saviour and who he is. And maybe it's a prayer of, you know, opening up your heart and saying, Lord, Jesus, thank you for coming into the world for me, and for going as that baby in that manger, for dying on the cross for me. I really, truly love you, and I thank you for what you've done. Please come into my heart. Or maybe it's a prayer for you where, on life's journey, you know, you've dipped in and out of that Christian faith, that life, and maybe you want to sort of, when you look into that manger, you see that baby in that manger, maybe you want to rekindle that desire, that love that you have in your heart, that you want to love Jesus more and more, and to know more of his love. And maybe that's the type of prayer this evening that's for you. And so, you know, it's a prayer to me of crowns of salvation. There's three big giants in our life, in the world today, isn't there? There's sin, there's death, and there's hell. Am I allowed to say that?
Yeah.
Okay, there's three big giants in that world, but, you know, there's that babe that came into that manger. There's a humble babe that overcame death. He's given us life, and he's given us a hope to look forward to. And I really want to finish. I love that Noel. That's great, that one. And that's one of my favourites as well, I've been listening to. But there is another one that I've been listening to. It's from Hillsong, and it's called Prince of Heaven. And there's just a verse out of there which really sort of sums up sort of my thoughts. Actually, before that, there's another one I want to refer to. It's by an artist called Plum, and she's a Christian, and she's got a wonderful testimony. And the song that she's written is called Saviour. And there's a verse in there that says, "In the darkest night came a light." It says, "Behold, behold, a baby born, precious Lamb of God. Behold, behold, your gift to us, Saviour of the world." And I just thought that was a wonderful verse, and everyone's on my phone here, if you bear with me. It's by Hillsong. Many of you probably know Hillsong. And it's another Christmas message through a song here, and it's a verse that says, "We can know him, the Prince of Peace, in light of mercy confess our sin, lay our burdens at Jesus' feet, and with gladness sing. Hail, the Prince of Heaven comes. Angel choirs sound the call. For this babe wrapped in a cloth is the incarnate Word of God. All the kingdom and its power resting now in this child, Prince of Heaven, Jesus, hope of the world." And I just really want to finish with the word Emmanuel, because wherever we are on our Christian life, wherever we are in this world today, God is with us, and he speaks to us today through the words we've been singing and thinking about today.
Thank you so much, Julian, and thanks to all who have shared their thoughts and their reflections with us this evening. We're going to finish our carol service by singing "O Little Town of Bethlehem." You've waited so long for it now. Now you understand it, now you know what it's about. So you'll be able to sing it really from your heart. "So Little Town of Bethlehem." So we'll stand together, shall we, and sing this one.
Stars go by, let in the dark.
Church, which is just over the road there on Wakefield Road at 9:45 a.m. Just for a short time we can gather together, enjoy being together and just celebrate again this wonderful story and the wonderful thing it means that Jesus is Emmanuel, Jesus is God with us. Also on the Sunday 29th of December, week today in the morning, we're here for an hour and we'll have a drink after that as well. And the 5th of January is our covenant service, so they're the kind of upcoming dates there. Also as well, we've got some birthdays.
Christina
is, I don't think she's with us tonight, but we'll pass that on to her at some stage. I know it's her birthday on Boxing Day, I think. And also, I've got Vera's card as well, so I'll pass that maybe on to John and Lillian. Vera is 94, we thought, isn't it? 94, yes. On Christmas Day, so we'll send her that as well. Do stay around as well. Afterwards, we're going to have a drink. And also, I know Jules has brought something. Do you want to just say, Jules, yeah, about what you've brought for you?
Sorry, I was going to say something about this when I was up front here, but I forgot. But on the table at the back here, at the back, there's some Gideon's Bibles and the New Testament and Psalms. They're there for anyone who would like to take one. If you want to take one and pass it on to a friend and share something of Jesus, please let me know what the experience is, so we can pray for them, or who they are in specific. There is a little verse in the front that just says, it says, this deals with every experience in life. It gives advice and help, instruction and warning, comfort and hope, correction and direction, predictions and promises. And in this little book here, just take it away and read it. And there's little helps. If you're really struggling in certain days, there's little Bible references there to sort of refer to some verses that you can read on your own. So please feel free to take one at the back, and you're most welcome.
Thanks, Jules. So do take one of those at the back there. Like I said, do stay around, have a drink, have a biscuit, and say hello. So many thanks. And many thanks again to everybody who's took part tonight. So thank you.
Just thought the DVD would be better.
Yeah.